Second reading is from Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. I encourage you to read along as I read aloud. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them, since he intended to leave the next day. He continued speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where they were meeting. A young man named Eutychus was sitting in the window and began to sink off into a deep sleep while Paul talked still longer. Overcome by sleep, he fell to the ground three floors below and was picked up dead. But Paul went down, bending over him, took him in his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And Paul went upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he continued to converse with them until dawn, and then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive and were not a little comforted. Right here is the biblical warrant that goes back to the very earliest church meetings for youth to sit in the balcony and not pay any attention to what's going on. So all of you, especially you choir, I know you choir people look when you're up there, you look up there and see those, it's right there in the Bible. All the way back to Eutychus, we find that youth sit just at the edge, just barely in the room, just as little, as close as far as they can get away from the action and don't pay any attention, or so it seems, falls asleep and then goes out the window. These two scriptures talk about how we can minister and what are our challenges with youth. And they're not challenges that is new to us. They go back to the early church. The first one, we see things that we should notice. One, it's not good to bore youth. There we have someone that's in the goes, and they're supposed to eat. See, they went, did you follow the progression there? They said that they were going time to eat, and it goes on way past midnight talking. And I'm thinking, why is Eutychus hanging up there? Well, that's dinner. He went to a church dinner. There's a visiting missionary comes. Come and eat church dinner with a visiting missionary. How many have gone to that? And it went on and on and on, and we see that it's only after Eutychus falls away, sleep, dead, falls down, that they go back in and actually eat the dinner. So they haven't eaten the dinner till midnight. So one, feed the children. Feed the youth. Don't keep them up there. They're way past midnight without feeding them, way past all something. Keep them fed. Keep them. Don't go on beyond their endurance. The second thing is that what happens when the youth falls out and is lying dead, it says that they picked him up dead. But Paul, it says right there, but Paul stops what he's doing, goes out into the street, picks up the youth, and said, "Do not be alarmed. There is still life in him." Now, here we see very bad things to do if you are finding someone lying on the ground, seemingly dead or just falling from third story. You don't pick them up. Don't do that. Even though the Bible says that, that's not a proper procedure to help folks that are hurting. But in this case, it does work. Paul finds that there is still life in the youth that the congregation that has pronounced as dead. Ah, he's dead. How many times have we pronounced a youth dead? They're dead. They don't even pay attention. They fall asleep. They're up in the balcony. They're on the edge anyhow. They fall out. There's nothing. Paul's response to that is to go out and to find the youth and to come here. He goes, "No, he's not dead. There's still life in him." The answer to our challenge with youth is the same answer that has been gone from all and on. It's not to make them be like us adults and come to our programs and sit through our things with the promise of dinner. But our answer is found in Matthew. It's found in Acts. First, Paul goes out to the youth, to where they are, and stops what he's doing, goes out and to the youth, and finds that there's still life in the youth. And that's what we need to do. Where is there life in the youth? What gives them interest? What keeps them awake? What keeps them from falling asleep and falling out of windows? What is it that interests them, that animates them, that gets them going? That is where we need to be. We need to go out and find that life in the youth. And we find that in Acts. Now, in Acts, you might have recognized the story. Usually people take all the Gospels and pile them up together and come up with a rich young ruler. Now, you've got to put all the Gospels together to get all that whole description in there. But this description tells us that it is a youth with great possessions. So you could say rich and young, not a ruler, but rich and young. And look what happens here. Isn't this what we do with youth even today? Here is a youth that comes with good questions. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And what do? We send them to Sunday school. Do the commandments. Follow the commandments. And they say, well, which ones? And we teach them which ones. It's a good thing to do. Follow the commands. Do not murder. Honor your father and mother. Do not steal. All of them are lifted out. And then it says, look what happens to the youth. We teach them the commandments. We teach them what they are. We teach them to follow them. And then we say, and then the youth says, I have done all these. What do I lack? Even back then, folks were wondering about what they needed to do, what they needed to acquire, what possessions that they needed to inherit eternal life. Even back then, there's a consumer culture. Even back then, they wanted to be fed by the church. Even back then, they wanted to know what they had to purchase, what they had to get in their packet of religious understanding, what they had to do in their possessions, what talisman they needed, what lesson they needed, what belief they needed to say in order to do that. He says, what do I lack? Isn't that what the commons with youth and young people today? They ask, there's something missing. We don't go hungry. We are in danger, even though the newspapers and the 24-hour cables tell us every possible problem that's happened anywhere in the world and keeps us at a constant state of orange alert at all times. This is the safest time to be alive at any time. And so we have great possessions here, but still we are lacking. The question, especially for young people, is this all there is? Is this all that there is? And what else can I get? And you know, the consumer culture is right there, ready to tell them what those things are. Oh, you need this body spray. Have you seen those Axe body spray commercials? Or do you all have DVRs and just slip right through them? I don't know. But maybe I need to show commercials. But you spray this Axe, this product on you if you're a guy, and all these girls and women come running after you and tackle you, and they want you so bad. What do I lack is the question that is answered time and time again on all the advertisements and billboards and televisions and media. They'll tell you, they're ready to tell you what they lack, what you lack, and people buy into it. What you need is the really cool ringtone for $9.99. That's what you lack. Jesus strangely says to the question of what do I lack? What more do I need? What's the next possession that I need to acquire? What's the next practice that I need to follow? What's the next Bible verse that I need to memorize? What's the next prayer that I need to say? He says you need to get rid of stuff. It's not that you lack. It's that you have too much. and turns it on to him and says, give what you have to the poor. Sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Sacrifice. Follow me. Now, we don't know what he does. None of the parables, none of the gospels tell us which of, if he comes back, if he follows Jesus, we don't know. And every time there's a question, a decision point, every time we're left there, guess what? We're supposed to put ourselves there. And so Jesus is telling not just the young man, but the young in all of us, the possession and what do, the people that ask, what do I lack in all of us? He says, it's not what you lack. It's not going to be solved by getting more things, getting another procedure, learning another Bible verse, doing another program, and doing this. It is going to be what you lack is going to be strangely found out by what you give away, what your service is, what your ministry is. And you will find purpose and meaning and happiness and joy and relief and what you lack by giving and by being connected to others. Go sell what you have and give to the poor and follow me. Now, I don't know what that young man did. It doesn't say in the Bible. But I do know the Bible does say he went away grieving. And that gives me hope. Because he didn't go away saying, what a ridiculous thing. I'll go see the next rabbi. He didn't go away saying it dismissively. He went away grieving. And I'm thinking the only way he was grieving is because he was beginning to let go of all those great possessions. He was emotionally starting to cut it away. And that's a grief process. That's a loss. The problem with us is, one of our problems is that we stop in the first two questions. And we say, what are we going to do with our young people? Well, we want them to know the commandments. We want them to obey the commandments. We want them to know what it is, and that's the way to eternal life. We want them to know the story. And we stop there. We stop at the first two questions, and we don't answer the last question of youth that says, what do we lack? And we bore them to tears, and we teach them over and over, and we have meetings that go on to midnight, and they fall asleep and fall out the window, and we say, ah, they're dead. But if we listen to one more question that they have, what do I lack? And if I give them the answer to that, the answer is to find your ministry. The answer is to find your service. The answer is in service and help to other people, however that may be. One of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to go against the great commercial engine of consumerism, which is Christmas now. And we're trying to put that back into saying, it's not that you don't have enough presents. It's not that you don't have enough new stuff. It's not that there's not enough boxes under the tree and there should be another one. It's that you need to give to others. One of the things that the Advent conspiracy wants to do is to bring back those things, not from the consumerism and possessions of Christmas, but to the service and to the giving of Christmas, to the giving of that Jesus Christ gave to the world. We should be giving to Jesus Christ. We should be giving to the world. And we want to give that to the young people. We're going to try to do that, and I hope you're all there, every one of you, some bright smiling faces for four Sundays in Advent at 10 o'clock to be there and to answer the questions of the youth, what do I lack? And he says, giving to the poor. Wouldn't it be great if we could, this program is a program that has gone through hundreds of churches. Last year they raised $3 million and it all went to providing clean drinkable water to folks that don't have any throughout the world. It's called the Advent Conspiracy. It's on the web. It's a program that really meets a need that people want something other than great possessions. The way to include youth, the way to include anyone in our culture is to show them that it's not what the commercials tell you. It's not about getting more possessions. It is about go, follow Jesus Christ, sell your possessions, don't put so much into your possessions, and give to the poor, and then you will find your life. the most surest way to get out of depression, to get over your problems and your low self-esteem is to help someone else. And that is a message that we need to proclaim and to say to everyone. And then Eutychus won't fall asleep and fall out of the window, and we won't give him up for dead. What kind of youth ministry or confirmation class that we would have if we were like torchbearers? Torchbearers is a very successful program with young ministry professionals in Akron and other places. And what they do, they don't just have meetings and they learn things. Sure, they do that, but they're also required to do service projects for the community. And that is the part of the success of that. We have found in Kiwanis that when we give young people, we say we got meetings and we got things to tell you and we got knowledge to give you, oh, they couldn't be bothered. But when we tell them that we have one meeting a month, we also go out and we do service, and we're, if there is a child in need, we are there to help that program and to help that child, then they're interested. We need to be more like those that are in Acts. That the third question that is asked of Jesus, I've got all this now. What do I lack? And the answer is service and ministry. To get away from possessions and get more into following Jesus, into helping one another in community. What a great time in our economic time to preach this message. We're not going up against the greed and the more and more money, and we're booming times. We're getting when people are looking around and saying, what happened to all that economic prosperity I kept hearing about? It didn't really work out that well. We have a message for that. And I hope you join in telling your neighbors and friends that if you're asking what you're lacking, you can find it in the service and ministry of Jesus Christ. And a good place to find that is right here at Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church. We're going to be out ministering to children this weekend. We're going to be out at Advent Conspiracy. We're going to be out at the community free dinners. We're going to be out every week at Salvation Army with the food pantry. If you lack something, there is no lack of here to find your purpose and your life and your work in Jesus Christ. Everything from singing in the choir to working in the food pantry, anything in between, teaching Sunday school, we've got the things that you lack. If you find yourself being bored and fall asleep, think about the answer the third time Jesus is asked. Sure, know the Bible story. Sure, follow the commandments. But then what you lack is service to others. And it's not just we'll give youth, get them awake, but it could awaken us as well.